resource that's designed to help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing.
Once you know your spells, once you have them prepared, once you have the spell slots or, you know, the cantrip or whatever available to cast, you've made sure that your hands are free and that you can speak and you have this you know, material that you need to cast the spell. Certain spells have radiuses that they are cast within. And honestly, this is something to this day that throws me for a loop sometimes, because it says, you know, a cube, a sphere, a cone. But for example, like a cone, is that, you know, are we talking about the access from the floor to the ceiling as well as the depth? So let's talk a little bit about the radius of spells that have them, spells that don't, and what that looks like, or how to understand that a little bit better, especially if you're using those, if you're playing with like a grid map or some of these different kind of tools that you can use during gameplay.
Absolutely. So actually, I'd like to expand that a little bit if I can, and talk about casting times, range, and duration as part of all of this. Because if you kind of just look at any random spell in the player's handbook and other sources, you're going to see that that's a common element to all of the spells. They'll always have something in those things. And so the first thing I'd like to talk about actually is the range of a spell. So the range of a spell basically is just like, hey, when you cast this, how far away does the target need to be, or can the target be? And so some spells will say that the range is 60 feet. You're like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. I can count on a hex grid or a square grid and figure out how far away this guy is, so I can shoot him with my firebolt, or I can do hold person as long as they're close enough to me, because the magic only reaches out so far. But there's other ranges that are self. It just says self, which means you can only cast this spell on yourself, right? Not other selves, just yourself. And it makes a lot of sense, because there's some things like, banishing smite, some other things where it's just like, disguise self is a great example. Disguise self, mm-hmm. like the name would imply, it lets you disguise one person. Can you guess who? That's right, yourself. And has a range of self. And then in between those two things, there's another range called touch, which means you have to reach out and touch someone in order for the spell to work. So you can walk as far as you want, but you have to touch the target for it to work. So the cantrip Shocking Grasp is this, where your hands turn into a taser. The spell Bark Skin means anyone you can touch, including yourself, gains this bump to their defenses by touching them, and the spell flows from your hand to the target. So there's always going to be the range.
So this might be a separate thing, and you might be planning on getting to this, but I'm wondering if line of sight is included in the concept of range, or is that different?
Right. So some spell descriptions are going to say things like you target a creature that you can see, okay, or a creature that you have line of sight of, or like in the case of like Barkskin, touch a willing creature. They have to be willing to do that, and so there's
going to be... I always hate that in my campaigns, because I'm like, are you willing? It just sounds so. It's like, so-and-so, are you willing? It's like, willing? I am willing.
Yeah, you're like, wow, this is getting really like Lord of the Rings in here, going on an epic quest.
Right.
I am willing to be part of the fellowship. And so with these ranges are also going to be areas of effect, which is what we kind of started this conversation with. And areas of effect help you to understand how this, typically this longer ranged spell is delivered, because not every spell looks the same, right? So a fireball, for example, has a range because it's a giant flaming ball, right? Versus, say, firebolt, which is just a little bolt of fire, versus burning hands, which is like a big fan or a big kind of swath of fire. So these are three different kinds of things. And so the different kind of areas of effect, the first one's going to be a line. And that's, it's like shooting a gun. It has a point of origin, which is typically you, and it goes out in a straight line so many feet. And oftentimes it'll say that anyone in that line is caught by it. So the spell Lightning Bolt is a great example, where if you get all Emperor Palpatine on someone and just go bzzz, anyone in that line up to the range is going to get caught in that, and they're going to take damage. Okay. Then there is a cone. A cone, you'll see it a lot, actually, because of things like Dragon's Breath, right? When, you know, Smaug burns out his fire, it's in a cone. So it has a starting point, the small end, and then expands a certain distance and out to a certain diameter and radius. The spell Burning Hands, I think, which I'm looking up right now, is a cone spell. Yes. And so here's what's interesting. So it has a range of self, which is interesting. You can't cast it on someone else and then it fires, right? So that makes sense. You cast it from you in a 15-foot cone, right? And so that means that you have this starting point, and then 15 feet out from you is its end point, and it does this big kind of arc from there. And anyone caught in that area of effect is going to have to take that damage. So the rules say this: a cone extends in the direction you choose from its point of origin. Its width is given along with its length, equal to the point's distance from the point of origin. So if we go back here to Burning Hands to help understand that it says that it shoots a thin sheet of flames from your fingertips. Each creature is in a 15-foot cone, has to make a saving throw, and they take this damage. So basically, you kind of just make an angle out and count there, and that's how much, you know, how many people are kind of caught in this effect.
I think this is really niche, but this actually came up once in one of my games, where, if I remember right, somebody was prone at the kind of near, not at the feet of, but near the feet of the caster. And we got into this very long discussion about if the cone would hit them or not, because we were trying to figure out like the geometric angles of, you know, the cast to see if it would actually go over his head or if he would end up getting caught in it because he was in the line of the cone, but he was down below. So would you say something like that is just kind of house rules? It's up to the DM and their discretion, or is there actually a defined mechanic in the handbook?
There's not really a defined mechanic here, but there are a lot of really good clues, because the term cone is a little misleading. You would think of it shooting out in a circular kind of, well, cone, like a waffle cone.
Perfect.
But in the description for Burning Hands, it says a thin sheet. And so when you look at that spread, it actually is representing, the cone's representing the spread, not its height and depth. And so in the spell description, it says it's a thin sheet. Now, can you aim that thin sheet straight down into this guy's face? Absolutely. But that reduces the range, and only he's going to get targeted by it. So there's some trade-offs. But typically, in that case, the DM is always right, and even when they're not. And there's a lot of good clues from the spell description, or just other ways you've seen things, other things work that are clear, that you can go, oh, okay, I think they would probably be, the designers would be consistent from this example into this example, most likely. And so I can kind of get a little bit of an inference in this.
Perfect.
And then there is the cube, which is interesting. And I'm looking up a spell that I know has a cube effect. Okay, so a cube is interesting. And by the way, if you want to look at these, they're on page 204 in the player's handbook, and there's some diagrams which are really, really helpful. So the cube is always going to have a point of origin, and then the cube's going to develop out from that point of origin. And so if you're looking at like your six-sided die and you face the one, you know, towards you, everything else forms out for in front of you from there. And so there's going to be a spell that has a starting point, and then it's going to be a cube of whatever size that you said.
So the caster is not the center of the cube. They can choose to cast that cube wherever they want.
Exactly. And so there's a really great first level spell for wizards and others called Thunder Wave. Which is not a wave or a cone, it's a cube, because it says that its range is self, it has to start with you, and it's a 15-foot cube. And so basically that means if you imagine your character is standing on a grid, that there are going to be 8 other grids around you, like a tic-tac-toe board, and you can choose any one of those other 8 grids to be the starting point as you develop this 15-foot cube. And so you can fill up the 3 cubes in front of you and on as that cube, as that kind of thunder wave blasts out, or the one behind you or the one beside you. For a long time, I didn't get this. And I thought thunder wave was one of the most useless spells in the world, because I thought it had to originate from you.
Well, and I mean, it kind of sounds that way from like the self or in origination. That would be my guess too, is that it has to, at least one of the edges of that cube has to start at the beginning of your person.
Right, which is why it's so important to go back and look and earlier in the chapter on magic, and what does it mean by cube? And there's the great diagram there that shows this originating point is actually one of the sides of the cube, not the center of the cube, which is like, oh. Because I'm like, when am I ever going to find my wizard, who's a very squishy boy with no hit points and very little armor, and surrounded by bad guys, to cast this thing to be effective? Otherwise, I'm going to cast it and hit all my friends, because I'm going to be in the back of the order of combat. And then I'm like, oh, this is how you use that spell. Got it. It threw me for a long time. And I love the idea of the spell, but I couldn't figure out the use case for it. You have the cylinder, and cylinder basically is just like, you know, you imagine like your Nalgene bottle or your can of soup. That's the shape we're talking about here. And it is going to be everything inside this radius and up to the height that it says. And its point of origin is the bottom of the circle, right? So imagine a circle with the point of origin in the middle, and then everything columns up to the top of this cylinder. There's a great spell that uses a cylinder that can be cast by clerics and a few others, called Flame Strike. And it's a pretty high level, it's 5th level, right there in the middle. And it has an area of effect of a 10-foot cone. And so, 10-foot cylinder, sorry. And so you've got this cylinder that the base is 10 feet across, and goes up into the sky. So anything in that cylinder is going to get destroyed or affected by this this fire and holy damage. And so the height of that cone, of that cylinder, sorry, the height of that cylinder is going to be put in the description of the spell. So for Flame Strike, each creature in a 10-foot radius, which is even more powerful than I thought, so that means it's a 20-foot wide circle, in a 10-foot high cylinder going to be caught in this effect. Now, what's interesting here in the range portion of the description, it says 60 feet, 10-foot cylinder. So that means you can place the origin point, not itself, but at any spot within 60 feet of you. And
the 10-foot cylinder refers to the height of the cylinder.
No, it refers to the radius of the bottom circle.
So, oh yeah, okay.
60 feet away from you, this bloom of fire, 20 feet across, 40 feet high, comes streaking down from the sky with the spell Flame Strike. So there can be a range and then also an area of effect. So when you look at things like the cube, the sphere, and the cylinder, you're usually going to find out, well, where can I start this? Is it self, so next to me? Or can I start it somewhere else far away, and then the area of effect goes off, which is kind of the different, like almost like throwing a grenade 10 feet, and then the area of effect is a sphere, you know, 10 feet wide. So you have to look at both of those to kind of get what's going on there, which does lead us then to the sphere, where you can select the sphere's point of origin and expands outward from that point. And the sphere's size is expressed as a radius in feet that extends from that point. And so with that, fireball is a great example, where you choose the point within range, say it's 30 feet or 60 feet or whatever it is, and I'll have it in front of me, it's going to bloom out to that size. So say it's a 10-foot sphere, that means it's a 10-foot radius. So it's a 20-foot diameter in all directions of this big ball of fire that you can place anywhere within a certain range of you.
Yeah, there are, I mean, you kind of start getting used to some of this stuff eventually, but there are actually tools out there. I have one where it's a clear acrylic overlay
that I have one of those too. They're awesome.
Onto your 5x5 kind of, it's, I think most of them are assuming that your grid is going to be a 5 foot by 5 foot. But you can actually put it on top or hold it over your little minis. And it helps kind of define like, okay, here, I'm going to take the guesswork and the counting out of this for you. Here is the range, and you turn it and you're like, oh, well, these three minis are, you know, in this range. So if you struggle with this, you are not alone. Join the club, but there are some resources out there you might be able to use to kind of help make that process move a little bit faster. So you're not investing a bunch of time just trying to finesse minute details like, well, is this person inside or outside of that radius?
Yeah, exactly. By the way, I looked up Fireball. It has a range of 150 feet.
And it's
It's a 20-foot radius ball of fire. That's a 40-foot ball of fire. You can reach out and touch somebody. That's incredible. And don't forget, too, with knowing the point of origin with a lot of these spells is so great, because imagine that you have your party in a line. Like the British soldiers and, you know, the revolution, and then the bad guys also lining up with them, and you're like, oh, I have Fireball, I'm going to do that. And you're like, oh, but I'm going to destroy everyone here. Well, you can just place it back 30 feet and then explain, or 20 feet, and explodes, and it catches just the bad guys from behind. So you need to think about, you know, where you're going to drop these spells and the most strategic way to do that that doesn't incur friendly fire.
Thanks so much for tuning in with us in Equipping the Compendium this week, a resource designed to help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing. If you want some resources in between episodes, make sure that you subscribe to our podcast so you're first to know when the next episode airs. And you can also follow us on social media. Look us up on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter by searching for The Compendium, C-O-M-P-E-N-D-M. And we share a lot of great content in between episodes there to help you continue to learn D&D or kind of hit home some of these concepts that we talk about in each episode. We hope that you guys will join us for our next episode, which continues our discussion delving further into the world of D&D to help you spend less time learning and more time actually playing.